الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد من الله تعالى give us the توفيق and the ability to mention, to see and to hear that which will be beneficial for us. More especially that we are at the latter end of this period of time that we have intended to spend in the house of Allah Ta'ala, the form of Sunnah Atikaf. This is an example that comes to mind. Sometimes for people like us that don't have knowledge, we need to be even careful in the choice of our words. The choice of words Tilbis Iblis, deception of Shaitan. Person is giving the impression of his humility, but in that there is pride as well. Now, what I'm referring to is myself. That one is, see, this thought came to mind. And of course, the idea is to say that Allah Ta'ala put this to the heart of me. But then, the nafs sometimes doesn't stop there. Although that is a reality. But then suddenly, it makes you feel that is an impression that is being created by this, that you are at that level that Allah Ta'ala is inspiring you. Like the awliya inspired. And we hear, you know, that, okay, I had this in my heart and he spoke, I had that in my heart and I didn't even have to ask him and my questions were answered. Allah Ta'ala protect us, you know, the protection of our needs is something that is very, very difficult if we are not careful about. And the attacks of Shaitan and Nafs are very subtle. You know, maybe in normal circumstances, what prevents these thoughts from coming to mind? That, okay, so now you are also on that level that you are being inspired. This thought came to mind. So there has to be a balance in these types of things. Nafs has to be kept under check all the time, even the choice of words. Therefore, sometimes we find that someone's pukkar and the from Allah Ta'ala's side, the so to say, pukkar, if you have to literally translate it, when the person is caught with a catch from Allah Ta'ala, or suddenly Allah Ta'ala withdraws. Allah Ta'ala takes away and snatches that ni'mat just because of the choice of words. Because with that sometimes comes the niyat. And sometimes it's the way words that are used. So we need to be very cautious about this. May Allah Ta'ala protect our thoughts. May Allah Ta'ala give us ikhlas in everything that we say and do. And at no time let this come to our mind and heart that, you know, we are someone. What do we possess? What do we have? Even if someone is at a certain level, my Shaykh Abdullah Ali used to mention, that then that person should look at flights. And if one is at 10,000 feet and he thinks he is flying very high, or the person that is flying that remote control plane, and he thinks he's flying very high, and suddenly he says that one of those Cessna planes is higher than him, and if that chap thinks that I'm flying so high, then he looks at a helicopter that is flying higher than him, and if it's a helicopter that is flying and he thinks I'm very high, then he looks at the commercial aircraft that are flying above him, and like that you get the fighter, the aircraft and the jets flying it at even higher altitude. So فَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. So if I think that I'm somebody and at some level, then remember that there's someone above you. Therefore, when the mashayikh sometimes made this comment that, you know, I'm nothing, you know, I know nothing and I'm useless and this and that. So sometimes you find that there was a comment that was made on that by those that may have had ta'alluq, that we see this person at such a high level and he is there, he is one who is wilayat and who is taqwa, and his level is endorsed by the ulama, by the muttaqeen, by the sulaha, and he is saying. So it's one of two things, that if he is not there at that level which he is saying, and if he claims to be true in what he is saying, that he, then why should I have ta'alluq with this person? When he's saying he's nothing, he's got nothing with him. So then why should I have ta'alluq with him, in relationship with him? And on the other hand, if he is there and if he's saying he's not, then it's a lie. So how can a wali of Allah Ta'ala be saying something that is against reality? So both ways you caught. So a beautiful answer that is given to this type of an objection that sometimes comes to mind, and that is, these awliya Allah, their gazes are not on where their level is. If they are flying at a level of 10,000 feet, 15,000 feet, 30,000 feet, then their gaze is on those that are much, much above and much higher. Compared to that, they feel that this is nothing. So their gazes are not on where they are at that moment in time. But the gazes are far beyond, and therefore they claim that, listen, we are nothing, we know nothing, we are right at the bottom level. So their gazes are somewhere else, not like us. If I'm somewhere, then I think that I am there. I think that I'm at this level. When I think I'm at that level, and I'm at a very high level, then of course that is the time you start coming, because you start thinking something of yourself, and you start making claims, and sometimes very bold claims. But at that time, if the gaze and the focus is on those that are flying much, much higher, much, much higher, higher altitude, closer to Allah Ta'ala, the qurb of Allah Ta'ala is much more, then the person will think nothing of himself. So, however, we need to be careful about these things, and more especially with our thoughts and our niyat. Let that pride not enter the heart, or let that feeling enter that heart that I am someone. So when that type of a feeling or a person feels that those things can come to mind, then change the direction. Change the direction. And sometimes maybe this was not even needed to say that this thought came to mind. Just mention it. Oh, I see that this thought came to mind. You're trying to show that it came to mind now and it's inspired. You're not saying it, but the impression is created. So Allah Ta'ala is putting this in the mind now. They don't even mention that. Okay, just start off. Why is he that, no, this came to mind? So, the attacks of nafs and shaitan are very subtle. And we have to be on our guard, alert, hold at all times. Otherwise, when he can drop you, you'll fall and you don't even know. And you say, may I ask, that how is a person will fall and he doesn't even know? I went to see someone the other day. It was sick, and the person says that he's carrying some sofa or something, and whilst carrying, so the person didn't realize. But later on, the person realized that the toe was hurt to the extent that the nail had already come out, or was partly out, but the person knows nothing. Because of the numbness in the foot, due to being a diabetic, there was numbness in the foot. So what happened, that the sofa fell on the foot, on the toe. Person is hurt. Person doesn't even know. So we will fall, and we don't even know we have fallen. These things happen. There's an example. Person is hurt, doesn't even know he's hurt. But that can become so serious. And that is why such types of diabetic patients, they are told that always wear, especially when you're going outside with these tackies or something. Because if you get injured on your leg, on your toes, you wouldn't even feel it, you wouldn't even know, because there's numbness in it. And then Allah Ta'ala forbid, and Allah Ta'ala, that thing is death, by the time you come to know about it, those things go to it, even Allah Ta'ala protect. So this is an example, practical example, that where a person is, he's injured, but he doesn't even know he's injured. So the same thing can happen spiritually, that you've fallen, but you don't even know that you've fallen. And that is a very dangerous situation. But the person doesn't know he thinks he's still flying high, whereas in reality, he's just dreaming that he's flying. In reality, he's in the ground. He's fallen down. So therefore, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And especially those of us whom Allah Ta'ala has given this opportunity to do deen khidmat, or sometimes take platforms. And maybe the day Allah Ta'ala gives you as young ulama that platform, then always be in check with this, that what is my niyat? Is there any pride that is entering my heart? Or is it solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? When someone praises me, or someone says that, mashallah, it was a good bayan, or it was the dua, or it was a good message that was given, and then see where the focus goes, whether it goes to that being, that Zat-e-Ali, who made it possible for this tongue to mention those words, to utter those words, or for this mind to think of that subject and topic, or is it attributed to myself and I feel proud about it. Allah Ta'ala give me and give all of us tawfiq to understand these things and keep these things in mind. However, the topic was going to be that this is that period where, alhamdulillah, through the grace of Allah Ta'ala is bringing us to the end. Although it is quite strong probability that tomorrow will be the 30th, inshallah. But however, in Allah Ta'ala's infinite knowledge, He knows best whether it's going to be 29 or 30 days. So, in the probability that it could be just the last day, but also in the hope that we're going to be getting one more day, just one or two things that we will discuss now, whatever Allah Ta'ala puts to mind. The example that we were speaking of was that of may not seem a practical example for us, because it's related to females. And but there's something that we wish to extract from there. And there's a young girl who has been proposed, and the date of marriage is very quickly approaching. I find that as the time approaches and it's getting closer and closer, there's a type of concern and worry on the parents, and especially on the mother. And what is the worry and concern? That has this daughter been educated sufficiently to be ready for the next home, as far as the basics are concerned, the looking after and caring and the upkeep of a home, or if not a home, then at least a room, the neatness, the cleanliness and things like that. And then go a little beyond that, that where the basic things like the BSc, baking, sewing, cooking, what is needed for a woman. Of course, baking is not a necessity, but in our environment, you know, that is like a farz. Because some of us can do without food, but we can't do without baking. Like my Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was very fond of biscuits with his tea. He couldn't have, or he wouldn't normally have, tea without biscuits. So, generally, because the biscuits are dipped in tea, and that is how my Shaykh used to have it. And he was quite, I won't say a lover, but he liked royal creams. So even on Safar, when he went, so his friends, his murids, took along royal creams with them. And whenever that was seated somewhere on an occasion at an airport or something, and they would present it to him. So sometimes if somewhere tea was presented without the biscuits, so in Gujarati, to dip, you call it borwan, you know, to dip. So this is to say his colleagues, you know, lightheartedly, there's no borwan, nothing to dip here, it's just plain tea now. So, however, some places, like baking is actually like, it's taken like a meal. If there's no food, you'll have, make a meal out of baking. And if there's no baking, it's like there's no food in the house. So, we have made it part of our lives, but however, it is not so. So these basic things, like, and because it is regarded as basic, so we'll just mention it, and that is baking, sewing, and cooking. Sewing to today, okay, generally it's given out, and dressmakers and whatever. But just the basic things, sometimes you need to mend something, sometimes you need to sew something, stitch something, or whatever, something has got torn or something is needed. Then the basic thing, knowing how to use a machine and whatever. So these are those basic things. So now as the time is getting closer, the concern is increasing on the mother that has my daughter been sufficiently prepared for this new environment that she's going into? Why? Because if she hasn't been prepared sufficiently, then it's going to be a reflection on our upbringing, that listen, she hasn't been taught it, she doesn't even know how to cook. She doesn't know how to even, you know, maybe make an egg, for instance. She doesn't know how to do these things. Like some of them, you find that maybe they're schooling and whatever else, and from there they put them direct into, get them married for whatever reason immediately. Sometimes it is due to unfortunate circumstances that these things happen. So, however, that concern is there for the simple reason that if she hasn't been prepared adequately and sufficiently, then there'll be a repercussion, there'll be a reflection on our upbringing, our nurturing, that how did we teach our daughter. So there's that type of, so she starts coaching the daughter more and more, so that when she goes into the new environment, she is not ridiculed. She is secured against these types of things. She is secured against. She at least she's confident enough, okay, I know what to do. I know how to run a home. I know how to take care of things in a home. I know what is neatness. I know how it is to keep, or what it is, or what the demands are, to keep a home neat and clean. She's been taught, keep your bedroom neat. Keep your things tidy. Keep things clean. That is, dusting, all these things are taught. Same when it comes to the kitchen, and don't leave it just haphazard, put everything in its place. And sometimes in that process there's some sternness also, that I've told you this so many times, I don't want to listen. What is going to be the situation when you go there to the next person? So what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you that I haven't taught you. That is what the impression is going to be, that you haven't been taught, your mother didn't teach you. But as I've told you this so many times, now there's that sternness that is coming, harshness is coming in order to put that quality right, or to put that aspect right. Now you see, all this is going for for this young girl that is going into that environment. She knows what she is going to be expecting. So she is being prepared in accordance to the demands of that environment. She is being prepared in accordance to the demands, the basic demands of that environment. She has been prepared. But then there's one thing more than that. Generally, what mothers do is they concern themselves to this extent. They concern themselves to this extent that they will teach the daughter what to do. Okay. But very few may be educating their daughters with this aspect. Let's say if you went to the situation that you learnt everything, you've been taught everything, you know how to cook. But in the event that you are criticized or told regarding something that you don't know how to do this, how do you react in those types of situations? One is you know everything, what you need to do. So to that extent you've explained to everything. But those circumstances which befall a young woman or a young person which goes into a new environment, those things which are against her desire, against her temperament, someone has mentioned something harsh to her, or someone has made some comments which are painful, that listen, don't you know how to cook? Sometimes what does happen that the person that has come knows how to cook. But just that sometimes, like we say to our spouses, that you know, my mother's biryani, you know, she also knows how to make biryani, but I want to taste my mother's biryani, my mother's hand biryani. You know what? Or sometimes some special dish, and sometimes some women folk are blessed with that. That a particular dish, they'll make it such that the others will prepare the same dish, but you won't get that taste in it. That you will, and generally, because we are brought up by our mothers and the food that they're, so sometimes there's some particular dish that you know they prepare in such a way that you haven't ate that delicious or that dish with that deliciousness and that taste anywhere else. Like tea is made everywhere, but sometimes you find certain places the tea is made in such a way that you just enjoy that tea. Tea is made everywhere, but some have the art of making the tea, the proportion of milk and water, then the boiling process and the amount of tea that is put into it, and then also the type of tea bags or tea leaves that are put into it, all that impacts on the tea, on the taste of the tea. If a person hasn't got a temperament of tea, then whether he drinks water, hot water, or whether he has anything else, okay, I've had my tea. But a person who's an ashik of tea, then give him this ordinary boiled water with tea bag and say, see what you're giving me. So that is his mizaj, his temperament. So you'll find that there's some people that, then sometimes you'll find these mashayikh, they are so sensitive, they say, okay, only that certain person, mashayikh Imam Yusuf Ramtunali, was also, he had a good temperament as far as his tea is concerned. So everyone just wouldn't make his tea. This particular khadim that used to make his tea because they knew how he liked his tea. So he had a choice as far as that was concerned as well. So however, these things, they do differ. So sometimes the woman has gone, she's learned everything, but she's learned to cook in a particular way. Now when you go to another family, the way of cooking the same dish is there, but it is a little different. You will find biryani is being cooked one place, then in one province you will find that it is with extra masoor, for instance. And you go to another province, you will find that it is with less of that. Now this girl is going from here to another province where they put in less masoor, and she goes to town with the masoor. So now, what's going to happen? So now she don't know how to. So for that instance, what has she been taught for these types of circumstances? Going into too much detail of this, I don't want anyone to start thinking of marriage and that now. So now we've got all youngsters here, so let's stop there and let's get to where we want to go to. Okay, where we want to go to is that we are leaving this environment now. We're coming to the end of this environment where you were protected, you were in an environment where Allah Ta'ala has protected you from the sins, from the gunas, from the all those fitnas that are on the outside. Now what have we learnt here? And what have we prepared ourselves with? That when we're going outside, you will be able to withstand. You'll be able to withstand those fitnas that are lashing at us. You'll be able to be standing firm. Like we spoke of the emergency kits. Whatever, the suits that we have put on, like we spoke about the fireman. He also has a suit, he also has a uniform that he puts on. So what is it that we have put on, or what is it that we have equipped ourselves with, or have we sufficiently equipped ourselves to stand or to withstand the temperatures outside, to withstand the storms outside, to withstand the wind storms outside, to withstand the rain and the storms outside, the torrential rains outside? Have we got our gears right? In other words, our clothing, have we got the correct type of clothing to withstand that type of weather, different types of weather? Or is it that we just going out carelessly and suddenly I realize that it's raining and I've got no raincoat and I'm soaked in the rain? Or suddenly there's a sandstorm and I'm not sufficiently prepared for that, and my face is hit with all that sand, and the sand has gone into my eyes, into my ears and everywhere else because of the sandstorm. If you're caught in a sandstorm and you're not prepared, you don't have a shawl, you don't have anything that you can cover your face, you can't close your eyes, you can't open your eyes. What's the condition of the person? The moment you try to open, now what are you going to do? You don't know where you're going. You're just going to slip, you're just going to fall, you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to trip somewhere. So now, why? Because the person was not prepared. So what have we prepared ourselves for? Or what have we prepared and equipped ourselves with for the period that is going to be coming after maybe 24 hours, 48 hours? What's going to happen? And we know as we set foot out of here, the fitnas that are going to be lashing at us, especially as youth. So therefore, let us take this very, very seriously. This is the latter part of these days. If we think that this time that we have been here just was for enjoyment of ibadat and that's it, then remember that is not all. We need to equip ourselves with the proper gear for going out so that that noor that has been developed, which we've been speaking about, that noor that has been developed in the heart, that can be protected. And if anything, it can increase. But if not, if we just we're here with the intention that okay, we increased our ibadat, so forth, and be happy with that and content with that, and now we're going home, you'll see very, Allah forbid, the next fitna and the next challenge that is there, you failed in that challenge. There's a beautiful face that came in front, failed. That's my gaze is gone there. Why? Because I didn't build myself up sufficiently. I was not concerned about this aspect. I was just concerned about my ibadah and being happy that I'm in. But I didn't prepare myself for the outside. So therefore, do some contemplation. Everyone knows what types of fitna he is going to be caught, because we have been in an environment before coming here. And 9 out of 10 or maybe 100% we are going back into the same environment. So we know where we've come from. We know what the fitnas are there. So have we prepared ourselves? Or is it just that, okay, we came free, we came, we sat near the ground, we're going back to the same environment, so whatever. And within a few days we'll get back to our same condition that we were prior to the month of Ramadan Mubarak, or even prior to the last 10 days that we have. That Allah Ta'ala gave in spending the time in His house and communicating with Allah Ta'ala. If we want to be protected, then we will have to do something. Sit and think a little bit that what is it that I want? Do I want progress in my life, or is it that I want retrogress? Where I came from, I want to go back the same place. Or do I want to make progress? So if the person is going to sit and contemplate, then the challenges out there will come to your mind. Okay, listen, I know I've got a challenge in this department. Now when there's a challenge in that department, how am I going to be facing that? If there's someone that maybe, if there's something that I've had, for instance, now we have cell phones, we have these types. This challenge was there before. When I go home, my cell phone is still there. Now that I know that that cell phone is a dangerous weapon in my hand and I can harm myself and I can cause harm to either myself or to someone else, like a firearm, if the person uses it incorrectly, it can, or even by mistake sometimes you find that he can cause injury to himself or even loss of life, or that he can cause injury and loss of life of someone, to someone else or of someone else. So therefore we need to be conscious about this. We need to think and ponder and listen, what do I want and where am I? So the person knows this challenge that is coming in front. Everyone's challenges may be in a different department. For a certain person the challenge may be in his workplace, where I got to interact with females. For a certain person the challenge is going to be in his study place. For a certain person, the challenge is going to be in his teaching place. So everyone, certain person, a person is confronted with situations in the way that he, or in a place where he's got to interact with his subordinates or with his workers. In different places, the challenges are going to be different. Now a person is in a business type of situation, and he's standing at the counter, or there's going to be females that he's going to be interacting with, there's customers that are going to be coming that may be of the female type. What is my interaction at that time? How am I going to conduct myself at that time? How am I going to take care of myself and protect myself from engagement haram? This one is a student that is in a school, the school type of environment, where the school is not bothered. Or those that are responsible for the school are not bothered whether you've got taqwa or you haven't got taqwa. In fact, if they can help it, they will promote these types of fitnas in the schools. Or sometimes, unfortunately, we find the educators themselves are victims of these types of fitnas with their students. Allah protect, Allah make hifazat of everyone. So when we are in an environment of that nature, when we are in an environment of that nature, or we are going back to an environment of that nature, and then what preparation have I made? What type of suit am I putting on, protective suit for that environment? I can't run away from that environment. I can't leave it and go, yes, if my taqwa is of that level, and my ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala is of that level, then understood, okay, you can leave it and go in. You change your direction. But if not, and if you have to go into that environment, then what preparation? So sit and contemplate and think. There is no need to discuss it with anyone. If there is some type of embarrassing type of situation. But Allah Ta'ala has given us aql and intelligence as well. And basic things we know. That if you don't want to get burned, then don't go near a fire. I mean, who doesn't know that? You know that if you're going to go near a fire and you don't have sufficient protection on yourself, you'll get burnt. Who doesn't know that you come close to a heater, you're going to feel the heat? Is there anyone that doesn't know that? That's common sense. So you know what to do. If you know that you are feeling uncomfortable near a heater, so what are you going to do? Stay far away. Simple. So we know, it's not that we don't have knowledge of these things, that these things are haram. We know. So if you know and you've got the knowledge that this is a haram, so what is the next thing? When this heat is going to cause me harm, then stay away from it. So the same thing when this type of interaction, speaking or having any type of communication, if that is, or that is, I know that that is detrimental to me, it has caused harm to me, it has caused harm to my spirituality before, and I don't want to fall into that same. Why sometimes, and sometimes the tragedy is that we sit it in the masjid, but unfortunately the heart is waiting for that opportunity to come again. That bus, I'm just waiting for that. That is a tragedy. So let's make dua to Allah Ta'ala that these types of thoughts, they don't come to our hearts, and there isn't a desire in our hearts, to engage in these types of haram. Sometimes that, sometimes we discuss with our students that whilst we are here in madrasa, the day of Eid is coming, the occasion of Eid is coming. Now we plan our Eid. And within the planning of that Eid and the things that we are going to be doing on the day of Eid, even is included those actions that are haram. For instance, intermingling and whatever, my cousins are coming and then it's a free for all. No, all the grandchildren must eat together. Now what is this that, you know, boys must eat separately or men must eat separately? It's a day to enjoy. And so I must see all my grandchildren and I must see the whole household on one big dastarkhan, on one big table, and everyone must be communicating and I must see everyone happy. That is the road to destruction. But now the person is sitting here and already contemplating. Now the person is reading Quran and Majid, or he's in the class, he's in the masjid. He's in the masjid, but he's already contemplating on some haram that he's going to be doing on the day of Eid. Now he's sitting here and engaging in dua and doing this and doing that. But the mind has already decided on something that is haram. Now where is he going to get nur? Before you can even gather that nur, you want to let it go out. Just these things we need to be. So the same will apply in our other things. That we've been maybe exposed to certain types of things. Now when we hear and we know that, okay, all this exercise are being done, there's so much you've stayed away from gunas and everything else. But the mind is already there that I'm just waiting for that opportunity. When I go back there, it's going to be the same thing. And this is not going to help. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq to understand these aspects, make proper preparation for the days to come, and at least initially when we leave from here, when the attacks are going to be harsh and hard and severe, that is the time when it's going to be very severe. And if through the grace of Allah Ta'ala you can swim those oceans of those stormy waters, then inshallah once you ride over that, Allah Ta'ala will then take you to calm waters. Initially the fitnas and these desires will come very, very forceful. Because now you've just come out from here. That is where the test is going to be. And all those storms that are going to come. But if the person can control himself, control those evil egos, desires and everything else, and ride over these waves of fitnas, then inshallah you'll find when those fitnas go away beneath, and then Allah Ta'ala will give you this smooth waters which you will just sail through after that, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of sitting for a little while, contemplating and thinking of the challenges that we have before us. It is not a small thing. These challenges are such they can either make us or break us. In other words, if a person is successful, it will make you, inshallah, you will go further in your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, your qurb with Allah Ta'ala, your closeness to Allah Ta'ala, you will get even more proximity. But Allah forbid if it goes the other way, then that closeness that we have experienced suddenly, as we said a little while ago, the person just drops and everything is broken and the person then is turning back. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me, bless you, bless all of us with correct understanding. Make an effort in the correct direction. Make dua for istiqamah and steadfastness. That, oh Allah, when these fitnas lash at me and when these storms start coming, oh Allah, you safeguard and protect me. And oh Allah, you make it easy for me. آخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.